Star Trek, the TV program from the 60s.
These are the commentaries of the siblings Alex and Sammy.
Their ongoing mission? To discuss creative science fiction concepts.
To examine interesting character dynamics and occasionally terrible writing.
To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Bones to Sammy. Bones to Commander Sammy.
Yeah, what's up, Bones?
you have to get down to medical immediately. There's a problem with your brother, I'm afraid.
Oh, a problem with my brother. You want to take a bunch of shots together. I am so there, Bones.
No, it's not this time. That's not what's happening this time.
An actual medical emergency?
Yes, it seems that he's fallen into a comatose state.
Okay, I'm climbing down the little ladder because it's too fast. I can't even risk the turbo lift.
Excellent. Good. That's the best way to get here.
It seems that
Captain Alex is suffering from... apparently, he's developed a Star Trek addiction of sorts, and he's now suffering from a Star Trek shortage. He's gone 2 weeks without watching an episode of TOS, and it's put him into this state.
Oh my god, I have the solution.
Great molasses of Georgia, what is it? Oh no, you were too late, no.
Do I have to say it? Like, I think the solution is pretty obvious. We have to watch an episode of TOS. Oh.
Did you say watch an episode of TOS? I suddenly
Alex,
feel better.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
I was
good job
so
diagnosing
worried.
That, Bones, and finding
go
solutions.
Down, go down to our ship's theater. Me and Bones are gonna take a couple shots together. You are not invited. It's our thing. I'll be there in a minute.
I'm not it's just gonna be you and Bones?
Yeah, it's me and Bones. It's like our thing.
Oh man.
Oh no, he was excluded, so he died. That's how I feel, honestly. I got that by FOMO.
death by FOMO. It's the truth.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome
hello,
back.
Everyone.
Welcome back to Star Trek, the original siblings. He's Alex.
I am. Oh, do you want me to introduce you? She's Sammy.
Yeah, good job. We got that twin telepathy. You guys wouldn't understand.
Yeah, twin telepathy.
We always finish each other's
shots.
Anyways, welcome.
welcome. If you're new here, this is a show where we watch Star Trek and talk through it. And if you're old here, welcome back.
If you're old here, you know more about Star Trek than we do. And
then
that's
you're the real expert. Sammy, how's it going today?
It's going pretty good. It's been really rainy, so I kind of just want to stay in bed all day and not do anything. But I'm here, so
nice.
That's cool, too.
Yeah, you made it from bed to this chair.
I did it. I walked across my whole house.
Perfect. Nice.
How about you? How are you?
Good. I stayed up very late at a Halloween party last night. And we're now recording at 3 p.m. I've been awake for an hour or two, maybe.
Damn, that's hardcore.
So I'm ready to go. I'm hardcore. Listen, what can you do?
Well, I went to a Halloween party last weekend and I got home at 1 a.m. And I was like, that was crazy. That was wild that I stayed out until 1 a.m.
I don't think I even got there till 11. That's how we New Yorkers roll.
Oh, yuck. I'm so not about that life.
That nightlife. We got a fun show planned today, but to kick it off, I got to shout out a couple of other podcasts that we recently appeared on.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we were just on the Trekspertz podcast, which is a quiz show, where we were answering questions about Star Trek, and which is probably funny
so
to you guys, because... You know that we
so
don't know
stupid.
A lot. Yeah.
And in addition to just being idiots, I feel like I get so much performance anxiety around that kind of thing. Or there were so many questions I knew, but I was just like, I don't know.
I thought that there was a couple that you stumbled on and I was like, she knows that.
I just get so I just don't work well under pressure at all. So but it was
That's
really,
funny.
Really fun.
It was very fun. I totally recommend you guys go listen to it. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Uh-huh. It's going to be frustrating because we're so stupid that there's questions that I'm sure
right?
you guys all know that we are both just Also, it turns out, I don't know the names of, like, any episodes. A bunch of them, like, were about naming the episode, and I was like, the one with the lasagna monster.
Yeah, I don't think I would if I wasn't having to type them in on the thing to upload them to the podcast.
That makes sense. I was like, although, did Alex just, like, read all of the summaries of the episodes before we did this?
That would have been smart. No, apparently I think the alternative factor is called the Lazarus effect, so...
Oh, well, that's true.
Yeah, invented a non-existent episode. Although,
man, the Lazarus effect is the feeling of when you watch an episode of Star Trek that makes you never want to watch another episode ever again.
Right. I did realize the guy in Alternative Factor is named Lazarus, so I wasn't,
yes,
like, completely off base with that. But,
yeah.
Like, I was just like, why did I come up with this name? Anyway, so yes, very fun. Go check it out, guys.
We won't spoil who wins.
Nope, we're not telling you.
So you'll have
so
to listen for yourself.
Gotta listen for yourselves. Yep. And then I was also on the Cinema Store podcast this week, mm-hmm, which was also really fun. We talked about movies on there. We talked about Black Adam and Halloween Ends and The Thing, the original. No, not the original.
Oh my
the
God,
thing,
I literally
the
just
John
watched
Carpenter
that.
The Thing. The John Carpenter one?
Yeah, because
have you not seen it before?
Whenever... No, I've seen it before, but whenever Juniper and I watch a movie together, we always give each other 3 movies to choose from. And then she was like, oh, let's watch a scary movie. And I was like, oh, do you want to pick 3 or should I pick 3? And she was like, I'll pick 3. And then one of them was The Thing. And I was like, one of mine was definitely going to be The Thing. So we have to watch
nice.
It. It's so fucking good and yucky.
It's
and it's just wonderful.
Great. Oh, it's like a perfect film. Yeah. No, it's really exceptional. Like,
just there's just so many things
special
I
effects
say about it.
I don't think they've been topped since then. I think that is like the best like special effects movie ever. Like
100%. And you know why? Because the special effects are fucking real.
They're all practical. I want to watch like some behind the scenes and stuff. I want to know
it's
how they did
disgusting.
That stuff. It looks
it's
so gross. Ugh.
It's so gross. But I like and like lots of like times when scary movies are just like yucky, I like won't look, but I have to look because it's like so like captivating in how yucky it is. It's like I can't
right?
look away.
It's incredible. Plus, it's not like, you know, a lot of times when scary movies are yucky, you kind of like know what they're doing. It's like somebody's like slowly slicing their hand in half or something weird. And the thing,
totally.
Everything is like so bizarre. It's like every gross thing that's happening is also something you've never seen before. So you're kind of like, whoa, like there's.
Well, and that's
you know.
The other thing is that like all the deaths are so unique. You know, it never
mm-hmm.
gets old
yeah.
every time it's something new. Like when the guy's like body like bursts open and becomes teeth, it's just like
I was just about to say, yeah. And he eats the other guy's head with his head. It's like just
yeah.
Oh,
well, and
God,
the other thing
also
is
gross.
That when I watched it a couple nights ago, it was like the second time, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's so good on the second viewing because like you just like understand like everything that's happening. Where like it takes them so long to figure it out, and by the time they figure
yes.
it out, it's like. They can find the solution, but they waste so much
it's
of
like
the movie just not knowing. And I love when they go to like the Danish like research center or whatever, and they like basically just like see their future. They see what's going to happen
yeah.
to them, but they don't know that yet, you know? And like, oh, at the beginning when they're like chasing the dog and shooting at it. And like my girlfriend had seen it before, but she forgot. And she's like, oh my God, why are they shooting at that dog? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And then she's like, oh, I just remembered why they're shooting at the dog.
Because the dog is the thing.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Oh, man. But yeah.
Wait,
so,
can I say one more thing
yet,
about
yeah.
the thing?
Yes.
It's
oh
so funny.
I want to say more about it, too. Oh, my God. We should do
yeah.
a thing podcast. Forget Star Trek.
Star Trek sucks for comparison. No, I'm just kidding. But when I was watching it the very first time, like, they had me right from the beginning. Because, like, okay, I love how it shows, like, these people, like, in a helicopter shooting at a dog. And you're
mm-hmm.
just like, oh, my God, these people are motherfuckers. I love this dog. Because, like, that is, like, your natural reaction as an audience
yeah.
member to be like, somebody who is shooting at a dog is a bad person.
He's a bad guy, yeah.
And so, like, when I'm first watching it as the dog is, like, sprinting through the snowy landscape, I was just like, you know what? I don't care what happens in this movie as long as nothing bad happens to this dog.
Oh, no. Oh,
no. And I was like, wait, it's a horror movie. I was like, don't get attached.
You made
and,
the
like,
wrong
thank
alliances.
God I remembered.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, I brought this up on the other podcast too. So go check out Cinema Store Podcast, guys, if you want to hear us like really.
Yeah,
get
I am
into
downloading
the thing.
It right now.
They also have a YouTube channel too, where it's like they have a virtual set, which is really cool. So it looks like they're sitting at the counter of like a video store, and I'm like on a TV, like a rolling
no
cart
way.
TV
That's
in the background.
So cute.
It's super cute. I was mentioning on there. I had never thought this while watching it before, but on rewatch, I was thinking Kurt Russell who firstly is stupid attractive in that movie.
So like, hot.
He is so
and,
hot
like,
in that
kind
movie.
Kind of masculine like, to the point of ridiculousness, but so
yes,
hot.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Like, stupid. But I had never thought this before watching it, but this time watching it, I was thinking, I think he's a thing. Like,
the
whole
end.
Movie. The whole time. His jacket's ripped. Remember, they find his jacket all torn up.
Yeah.
Which is like a sign that you're
blood?
A thing. His blood is inexplicably already in a little vat when they all come into the room. He already has a blood sample of his blood, you know? So it's like...
Okay, because
we watch everyone
said,
else prick
like, that
their thumbs
torn...
and take their blood.
I thought they said... I thought they like, said that somebody might have torn that, his clothes, but like that is... Like,
he says that,
don't know.
Which I think
yeah,
is kind
exactly.
of a half-ass excuse. And then he already has his blood ready when they come in, so it could be anyone's blood, really. Like, it might not even be blood at all, for all we know.
That's interesting. But I disagree with that because of everything else that he does.
Well, once I got onto this track, I started paying attention because all he's trying to do, he doesn't care about anyone else but himself, is like,
uh-huh.
if you're watching what he's doing, which uh-huh. is the exact same thing that the thing is doing. So it's like, mm-hmm. while he's making all the best decisions a human would make, he's also making all the best decisions a thing could make. So it's like...
No, he's the one who says that they need to explode the whole place.
Sure,
instead
yeah.
Instead of on fire.
Yeah, which I guess, does that make sense for a thing to
he's
do?
He's more like propelling the action against the thing, you know?
The other things, but never against himself. I don't know.
Well, yeah,
I'm,
of course not
I'm
against himself.
Yeah, I mean, still, I don't know. Anyway.
Well, and at the end, when it's him and that old guy from Community,
Keith David,
who, by yeah. the way, is so hot. What the
he's
hell?
He's also stupid hot when he's young. Yeah, no, he's also in They Live. Man, he is so attractive. And what a voice.
Wow.
What a, like, perfect voice. Like,
such a good voice. But at the end, they're like, if either of us has a surprise for each other, there's not anything that the other one can do about it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like that is kind of like, because I feel like that's how I always land at the end. I'm like, wait, are they things? But I don't think so.
Interesting. It's hard to know. It's like, you really don't know.
You really don't know.
And there's a lot of other little things. Anyway, go listen to the other podcast, Cinema Store Podcast.
How many times
if you guys
do we say the word thing?
Thing, podcast. Right? Thing, the thing.
Which is perfect, by the way, because that's what you would call it if you
yeah,
encountered something
yeah.
like that. You would just call it the thing, you know? Like, I hate... In zombie movies, when they don't say zombie, because it's like, dude, you would say
that's
zombie
like a
because zombies
of zombie
are a
movies,
thing.
Though you can't call them zombies.
But I hate that because it's like zombies are a thing that exists in pop culture, and like if you're trying to make a zombie movie that exists outside of a universe where there are zombies, like then it just gets kind of ridiculous.
That's funny. Oh my god.
And that's that on that.
That's that on that. The thing. Watch the thing. Watch the cinema pod store pod. But right now, listen to us. Forget all those other things we brought up. Listen to this podcast right now. Because we're gonna do other stuff besides just talk about other podcasts.
Man, this is going to be a long podcast. I can already tell.
It is. Yes, today is going to be a long one. They already know that because they already saw the runtime before they played it. We don't know it
damn,
yet.
Damn, you guys.
We know.
Wow. All
right. They
it's
know
like
more
in
than
that
we
moment
do.
Of the thing. I'm sorry. We're moving on.
Oh, my God. I could go on forever. We got okay. So, we're going to open up our hailing frequencies.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
This is the subspace frequencies open segment. This is where we go through and we read all the messages sent to us by you, the listenership. You can send us messages at stosibspod@gmail.com. And we'll read the messages here on the show, which is what we're just about to do here. We love to hear from you guys. Write to us about anything. But, you know, generally try to keep it to Star Trek and the episodes we're watching in our show. But, you know, whatever. Write to us
about anything.
Or
your opinions about the thing.
Or your opinions about the thing, right? Unless they're that you don't like the thing.
Then keep it to yourself.
Right. So we have a big day today. We have 7 subspace messages.
I think it's because we didn't have any last episode. And
yes,
folks
some of these are
bad.
Delayed. Yeah, yeah. It's partially what happens. We're caught in like this weird time loop where we get none 1 week and then we get a bunch the following loop. We're in like a time, some sort
it.
Of,
I'm
yeah.
I'm here for it.
Because it's like, because we record, we just release the episodes too close to when we record them. So they don't have time to send it to us, which is like,
that's
just a scheduling
point.
Issue on our side. It's nothing they're doing. Like they would have to send us the message like right when we release it practically. So what can you do? Anyway, these are great messages. I think you guys are going to enjoy these. Here, you want to read the first one, Sammy? It is
yeah,
from Lieutenant
it.
Kern.
Oh, Lieutenant Kern. We love Lieutenant Kern. Okay. Kern says, Sims, I don't know whose hand was used and who mourns for Adonis, but the reason it's Adonis and not Apollo is because the episode title is based on the poem Adonis, an elegy on the death of John Keats, which I feel like I might have said it was based on a poem, but I did not know all of those details. As for the Changeling, it's not great, but it's a fun watch. It's definitely more entertaining than Star Trek the Motion Picture. It was pretty lazy of Roddenberry to reuse the idea of Nomad for...
V'ger.
I was like, do we really need a shorthand for Voyager? Anyways.
That's what I thought when I first heard of the character, too.
You were wondering about the directors. You met one of them since they used a picture of director Mark Daniels for Jackson Roykirk. Oh, that's so sick.
Right?
There's even a reference to Roykirk in season 2 of Picard. Rene Picard was at Jackson Roykirk Plaza. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the fact that the episode gives so much attention to Uhura, but it is just silly that they could wipe her memory and essentially reprogram her as if nothing happened. Originally, yeah. The script had... Yeah, that's so ridiculous. Nichelle Nichols made it work, because she always does. Originally, the script had Nomad wiping the memories of a random yeoman. By the way, everyone,
yes,
it's pronounced
we got called out. That, yeah, there's a correction we should have done. We've been saying Yeoman this whole time, and apparently it's pronounced Yeoman. We got called out on the Trek Sports
Pod. We are so stupid. But also, can I just say that when I first watched Star Trek when I was like 16 years old, I was like, man, mm-hmm. there sure are a lot of people whose first names are Ensign. I'm not kidding. I'm dead serious. So that's the level of stupidity I'm approaching this show with.
And
so let's
Ensign
all just
is like the John of the 24th century.
I know. I was like, this just feels kind of lazy. I was like, do they just keep recasting this Ensign guy? Whatever. We don't have to talk about it.
Supposed to be the same guy every time.
I like didn't even think about it because I was like, I only care about the characters that I like, and like everybody else is just whatever. Like a yeoman and Ensign, like whatever. Okay. Originally, the script had Nomad wiping the memories of a random yeoman. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting myself again. Like, how many yeomen does this ship need? Like, every single episode, it makes me so mad that they're like, we need a new hot young secretary. Like, I don't mind that they have, like, this revolving door of, like, female guest stars, but can they please have, like, actual roles, you know? Like, I know that we all know
this. Yeah,
they've
gotten
but just,
a little
like...
better at that in the recent episodes, at least, because she wasn't a yeoman in Who Mourns for Adonis. And
but every time
also
they're not
Mirror,
a yeoman,
Mirror,
it like is
yeoman.
Relevant to the plot. Whenever their job doesn't matter, they're a yeoman, you know?
You're right. Yeah. They
Which
can't
is like
just,
not that much
yeah.
better. So
they're also
wiping
still
the memory...
stupid, so it's like...
yeah, right. Whatever.
Wait, let me play the...
Sexism alert. Sexism alert.
But also, I would love to just be a hot woman in space with like no responsibilities and just be a yeoman. So like maybe, I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Wiping the memories of a random yeoman after it heard her whistling. But Gene Kuhn and DC Fontana argued it made more sense to use an existing character. Roddenberry agreed, but wanted to see Chapel so he could give Majel more screen time. Big fucking surprise.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they convinced him to go with Uhura instead. LLAP? Lieutenant Junior Grade Kern.
And there's a PS down here, too.
Oh, sorry. Scrolling down. PS, if Starfleet confirms Samuel B. is no longer with us... I'll do a Scotty and go to the holodeck to learn how to play the bagpipes. Like Spock, Samuel B. deserves to have Amazing Grace played in his memory. Oh, my God.
Sam B. was shot down by the Klingons last episode, if you guys have forgotten.
Man, that bagpipe scene.
Ugh, my heart.
He was the most human.
Will go on. Also features
I can't
bagpipes.
Talk about it. Thank you for writing, Kern, and giving us, like, all of the behind-the-scenes information that we don't have.
Yes, no, this is all really interesting. He always knows what the, like, early drafts of the script were. Like, I wonder where
so
he gets
true.
This from. Like, it's great.
Well, and I'm like, knowing specifically, like, who's playing what role, because, like, I feel like for me, I'm just like, oh, Roddenberry and, like, the other producers. But, like, yeah, like, Gene Kuhn and, like, DC Fontana, we see them on the credits all the time. I just don't, I just don't give credit where credit's due.
No, yeah, Gene Kuhn is, like, the first guy on the credits most of the time, too.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Yeah. So he was definitely important on this. And I'm very glad it wasn't Majel Barrett. You know what I kind of hate about her in this one particularly is, like, uh-huh. It doesn't feel like she's here of her own merits. Like, you know, like,
no.
It feels like she's here because she's dating Roddenberry, yeah. Like, which is, like, kind of shitty. Like,
yeah,
she's just not that captivating. And it's
almost pulling her weight. And that's the thing, like,
yeah.
Nichelle Nichols is so captivating, you know?
Yes. Well, and by the time that Majel Barrett comes back for TNG, then it feels like she is there for, like, you know, it feels like she's deserving
she's
of the
good.
Role.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Like, and the other problem is, I almost feel like because we've got Majel Barrett in here trying to, like, get as much screen time as possible, it kind of blocks up, like,
other women.
Like, captivating women from coming in and being on the show. So it's like...
Big time.
It's like, yeah, we got a bottleneck of female screen time happening that she's blocking up.
But in her defense, like, as we see in TNG, she is captivating and she is a good actress. And so, like, I do feel like a big part of the problem is the writing.
Yeah.
You know?
The writing,
like,
and the wigs.
I think she can only be so much to blame.
Thank you for writing to us, Kern. Thank you. That was a great message. And yes, we have a second one from Kern in a minute here, but not yet.
Oh, hell yeah.
He got both messages through to us through our time loop that we're stuck in. So, next message is from Badmiral Dad. Dad wrote into the show, and he is a Badmiral, which is perfect. That's a perfect role for him to cast himself in. This message is a ride. Here we go. He says,
gosh.
You recently discussed cartoon crushes, and says
I don't want to know.
He's going to tell us. And since my memory banks hold records for a more extended period, I have more to draw on, although some of the files have become corrupted.
Okay,
I recall having an adolescent crush on both the cartoon character and the original Batman TV show Catwoman. This character checks both of Sammy's boxes in being both a hot woman and arguably a cat. They need to be
animals.
Yeah. He says, like Dave Bowie, she was ahead of her time, dressing in black latex and a skin-tight suit. She purr a great deal, carried a whip, and flaunted her tail, which I like to imagine was... You guys will never get to know what he said there.
Thank God.
You know she was hot, considering three different sex symbols were cast in the role over the years, including some personal favorites, Halle Berry, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Anne Hathaway.
That's a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
And Zoe Kravitz.
Yes, and Zoe Kravitz. He
More
probably
recently.
Hasn't seen that one yet. Yes. But she, I don't think at any point had a tail. I think that's one of his corrupt files.
Oh, could be. I have no idea.
No, he even sent a picture, and she doesn't have a tail in the picture. I kind of looked up some
other ones.
I feel
like a tail would really get in the way if you were, like, a cat burglar type, but that's
yes, absolutely. There would be no need. Yeah, she's always wearing that skin-tight suit. No tail, I don't think. He says, while you two love yourselves a sidebar, Ten, and
okay, can I just say something about
talk,
that real quick?
Listen to what he's about to get into. Right? No, but this whole email is a sidebar, I feel like. It says, you haven't spent much potting about some of the guest stars. Allow me to introduce Lieutenant Caroline Palamas. Leslie Parrish, born Marjorie Marie Helen, who graced over 100 TV shows and movies. It's hard to name a series from the 50s or 60s where she didn't make an appearance, including the aforementioned Batman. Originally a model, she wasn't shy to show off her smoking body, including short skirts and a peek of her tail feathers. While you like to mention Mayberry, she did cause quite a stir when she appeared on their sister show, Petticoat Junction. Old Uncle Joe and a few other horn dogs about lost their dentures as their mouths dropped open, seeing her appear at the hotel for the first time. Mom may even remember Leslie from one of her childhood favorites, Family Affair.
I think I only know...
Sound one of those.
I think I only know Petticoat Junction from... I think they talk about it on that 70s show.
He goes on to say, Leslie is known as one of the first women producers. She was involved in social causes such as the Vietnam War. She met the airplane pilot/writer Richard D. Bach during the making of Jonathan Livingston Seagull, 1973, and they married in 1981. Perhaps a tame kitty by today's standards, but 50 years ago, this was pushing the envelope. Check her out online. Nothing naughty, but she was, as they say, a looker. Mom and I are looking forward to our journey through the second season. LLNP, Badmiral Dad.
Aw, thanks for writing
in, Dad.
I'm embarrassed, but thank you.
I like that. I feel like it's very revealing, though, that our dad's email to us is like literally just focusing on like hot actors and being like, but you know who's attractive? Like, forget everything about Star Trek. Like, here's stuff that I think is sexy. It's like,
yeah,
well, oh, we're not
weird,
guilty of that at all.
Not something that we ever do. So
wonder where we get it from. Anyway, he sent some pictures of her too here, and she is very cute. He's right, you know. Which,
yeah, major hottie.
Lieutenant Pajamas. Okay, Sammy, you want to read this next one?
Yeah, it's from,
it is from
Ensign
Jasper C.
Wow, Ensign sure is a common first name, can I just say? Transmission from Ensign Jasper C, Starbase 8, Stardate 6213.1. Greetings, co-joint entity known as the Sims. That is how it feels sometimes. It is I, Jasper C, alive and well, despite being assimilated into a giant space spaghetti monster that you guys blew up. Whew, thank goodness.
We're sorry it we did them... that too.
I mean,
but I'm glad. But I'm glad
happen.
He's alive. You know,
yeah,
he's alive.
Yeah, it's good.
It's been a minute.
It took them weeks to fish all of my atoms out of the void of space, and then I had to spend a bunch of time in physical therapy because my legs were still pretty spaghetti-y. But good news, I finally have the dexterity to write an email, so here I am. Oh, I'm so happy he's back. I don't have any coherent thoughts on the last episode, join the club, so I'm just going to talk about... random junk instead. When I got into Star Trek, I decided I was going to watch through all the shows in order. I'm currently in the middle of season 3 of TNG, and man, you weren't kidding when you said the first couple of seasons were rough. Mm-hmm. How this show didn't get canceled after its first season, I do not know. There was not a single good episode in there. The Trek that I am most looking forward to is DS9. There's something about a dilapidated shopping mall in space / war outpost that seems very fun. Yeah, totally agree. And yeah, like, I feel like especially season 1 of TNG is just like rough
and stupid.
And Will Riker is not cute. Mm-hmm.
And
like,
and it's
the
like
uniforms
a lot of the...
are horrible.
Yes. And it's like a lot of the issues that we had with season 1 of TOS are like almost worse in season 1 of TNG.
You're so right, like, which is like really embarrassing.
And it's 30 years later, yeah.
It's like, come on. Oh my God. And like Deanna Troi, like not acting for shit. You
oh
know?
My God, she really like cannot perform in that first season. Like, I don't know if it's common opinion, but that's definitely my opinion. Is like, she,
yeah.
especially when she's not delivering a line. Like when she's giving her line, she's kind of acting. But anytime that she's not speaking, she's standing there like she's waiting to give her line. Like
so
she's not
weird. It's
like
you
it's
are
that
not
classic,
a
like,
robot.
Yeah, it's that classic like acting is reacting thing. She is not reacting. She looks like she's standing there asleep. She's like, I'm not on camera, am I? It's like you are actually.
And she really got it together and like made Deanna a great character, but
yes.
Like, yeah, not in season 1. And like, again, I think that we can partially attribute it to like writing and directing.
And directing, yeah.
Because
for sure.
We can see that these
like,
women
someone needed
are
to tell
good
her to
actors.
Wake up. Yeah. Like
I binge watched some TAS with a friend the other day and noticed that in I think the 3rd episode, Bones just keeps appearing and disappearing in between every single shot for like half the episode. I don't know how I didn't notice Schrodinger's phone the first time I watched the episode because it's very noticeable. That's so funny.
Oh
I love early animation. Just was nonsense it... like that.
Right. Was I talking about when we were watching the animated series, that episode of the Legend of Zelda animated series? Do you remember when we used to watch that?
Yeah.
And there's a part where Zelda's voice is literally coming out of Link. She's like,
oh
shut up,
God.
Link! And it's like coming out of him. I'm like, somebody screwed something up. In
so
this production,
funny.
Like, that was not what was supposed to happen.
They're just cranking out episodes. They don't have time to figure that kind of shit out. Also, since starting TNG, every time I go back and watch TOS or TAS episodes, I turn into a grandpa yelling at the TV during a hockey game. Mostly I'm yelling at Bones, why are you here? Don't you have a job to do? Because this guy is always on the bridge. But then, like, when he disappears, you have a problem with it, Jasper C. Come on, what's the truth? I'm just kidding. You're so right. Also, season 2 of TOS is my fave. Glad you guys made it. Me too. I love Chekhov's stupid-ass hair. Also, I like Alex's idea that Kirk can't understand anything Chekhov says, despite his accent not even being that strong. I wish there was a trope in the show because it would probably fit the vibe pretty well. Anyways, I've rambled long enough. Thanks for putting out episodes every 2 weeks. 2 or so weeks. Accurate. They really cheer me up. I am attaching a photo of my giant floofy cat. Her name is Luna. Live long. And Jasper says prop, sir. And I'm so here for that. Live long and prop, sir, my dudes. Jasper C. out. And I love this cat. Luna. I want to stick my face in her. Oh, she's so
just
fluffy.
Laying there. She's all floppy. She looks very relaxed.
Absolute angel.
Great to hear from you, Jasper C. We're glad you're okay.
Yeah, thank goodness that you're okay. And also, I'm glad because I feel like we're on a similar Star Trek journey where I've only seen like TOS and TNG, you know? So sometimes I feel like, I don't know, I feel like people are like, there's a whole universe of Star Trek that you're missing. And I'm like, I know, but I'm saving it for later.
I know. I always talk about this where it's like when you talk to like other Star Trek fans or, you know, my roommate makes fun of me for this. Somebody asked me once, like, "Oh, are you like really into Star Trek?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm pretty into it." And she was like, "What are you talking about? You're like obsessed with it. Like, why are you like downplaying this?" And I was like, I've only seen, you know, 350 or 400 episodes of the 880 or whatever.
Which,
so I was like,
is
if I'm
just
talking to the wrong
your toe
person,
in, like yeah. by like some Star Trek standards.
I'm like, if I'm talking to Kern, like I'm not a real Star Trek fan. I'm like still learning. I'm like an in training Star Trek fan. You know,
straight
like,
up. Yeah, we
I'm
are just ensigns.
So like,
we're
yeah.
all just ensigns.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Here we go. I'll read this next one. Good news, everybody. He's alive. It is an emergency transmission
no
from...
No bagpipes needed. Emergency transmission. Why didn't we read this
Admiral
one first?
Samuel B. Well, you know, sometimes emergencies can wait.
That is the opposite of what emergency means.
Right? Should I be setting off the red alert instead?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
So... he says, "Hello, Alex and Sammy. Fear not. My warp core remains intact." Which, well, that's a euphemism, right? No, I'm just kidding. My warp core remains intact. We merely suffered
a
catastrophic...
Wait, you didn't read the star date.
Oh, yes. Admiral's log, stardate 69425. We merely suffered a catastrophic power loss from that last torpedo. It took my crew a while to repair the subspace transceiver to contact you. As soon as Kor lowered his shields, we activated the Spaghettion beam, a new device from Section 31, which swapped him with his duplicate from a universe where he was always spaghetti. Unfortunately,
oh my god.
Unfortunately, Spaghetti Kor was just as mad, so I challenged him to Kunuk Khalifi, and I think we're married now? Anyway, I can't be mad at him. Revealing my childhood cartoon crush was all worth it to hear Alex say the phrase, "That's a sexy dog," on the podcast. He says, "Believe it or not, Who Mourns for Adonis comes up again in Star Trek New Frontier novel series, establishing Apollo as part of an entire alien race who wants humanity to worship them."
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, there are so many people who are, like, bigger Star Trek
fans
than
us. Yeah, this
is
a Star Trek fan. This is why I'm like, yeah, like, this is why I'm like, can't
be like,
yeah, I'm a huge fan. Yeah, like, anyway. He says, "Establishing Apollo as part of an entire alien race who wants humanity to worship them. One of their half-human offspring is a main character, along with an unkillable rock man and a hermaphroditic alien with unique pronouns, and a ton of TNG side characters. I highly recommend these books."
Have you heard that story where William Shatner really wanted to fight a rock monster?
No.
In one of the movies, he kept really pushing for a rock monster, and that's why in Galaxy Quest they have a rock monster.
That's funny. No, I had no idea. Oh my god. That's like that bit with the producer of Wild Wild West was like, he produced like a Superman movie before that, or was going to. Mm-hmm. It was going to be the one that Tim Burton was going to direct and that Nick Cage mm-hmm. was going to be Superman in, and Kevin Smith
Man.
Was going to write. What a
R.I.P.
What a crazy collection of people. Like, that would have been
that's
weirdest movie ever if that
I
happened.
Go over to.
Yes, if there was like, it's one of those movies, if like, yeah, God, wish that had been produced. Anyway, what I was going to say about it was that the producer of it was obsessed with having Superman fight a giant spider. And they kept being like, well, that wouldn't really be a big deal for Superman to fight. Like, he would kill it pretty quickly, I think. Like, that's not really a threat to him. Uh-huh. And he was just obsessed with it, and he kept pushing for it. And, like, and then the movie didn't end up happening. And, like, a year or two later, he ended up producing Wild Wild West. And lo and behold, there's a giant spider in Wild Wild
Man,
West.
Dreams do come true.
For arguably no reason. Like, it's so,
oh, my God. That's so funny.
That whole movie kind of happens for no reason, I suppose.
Big time.
Here we go. Sam B says, "I have a few additions to the Nomad Bromad family. First, we have So Mad, who is just angry all the time. Well, angrier. Then we have Go Mad, who's either really fast or just insane. Probably both. Do-Mad follows you around the ship constantly spouting Simpsons quotes. Flo-Mad would have absolutely annihilated Kirk in the rap battle. And finally, we have Ho-Mad, who, well, I think we all know what Ho-Mad does, and it would be wrong to shame him for it.
Oh my god, obsessed. That is that, like, that is the episode we deserve.
Right.
I'm surprised the animated series didn't have one.
Meet the Nomads. Yeah, I wish. He said, I first saw this episode as a child, and I too despise Nomad and was a little bit afraid of him. But I now recognize this as a classic installment in the Trek subgenre of Kirk tells a computer to kill itself.
It happens so frequently.
Right. Alas, I must go. Spaghetti Corps and I have to send out wedding invitations. Yours is attached to this message. Live long and prosper, Admiral Samuel B. And then
but Sammy, what's the dress code? Oh my god, he actually sent.
You gotta see it. This wedding invite is incredible. I feel like I should put this on the Instagram or something. It's very funny.
You have to. Yeah. Oh my god.
We cordially demand the presence of Alex and Sammy to the Taweon shock of Samuel B. and Spaghetti Corps at Starbase 22 on Stardate 42201 or whenever the peace treaty is signed.
Oh my god, we will be there.
We'll be there in our semi-formal wear.
In our dress uniforms.
In our dress uniforms, our skorts.
Yeah, Alex will be wearing a dress and I'll be wearing pants.
Perfect. All right, Sammy, you want to read this next one?
I'm sorry, I just have to, like, this is just the funniest shit I've ever seen.
Oh my god, it's brilliant. The wedding invite, the meet the nomads, this is a great email, Sam. We're so glad to hear from you again, and we're really glad you survived that attack from the Klingons, and that it's working out for the best with you and Kor.
Yeah, I'm so happy for you guys. Everybody said you couldn't do it,
I'm glad you found someone. Yeah.
You know, love conquers all. Love wins, can I just say. Okay,
We ship for Sam's spaghetti core.
Wait, let me see if I can whip out a celeb couple name. Sam Getty Sam Betty.
Sam Getty Core? Sam Getty Core B.
Sam Getty Core B. Okay. This one is from Johanna. Hello, Sammy and Alex. Hello, Johanna. I have COVID, sucks, but I just spent the day in bed listening to all the season 2 episodes so far, which is very comforting, and then a little heart emoji. Aw, that makes me so happy. Mm-hmm. Season 2 starts off so very strong with the mock time. The only thing I'm missing from this episode is the Vulcans' reactions when they find out that Kirk didn't actually die as he was supposed to by their customs. I'm sure they found some logical excuse. Yeah, by the time they figured it out, he was gone. And so they just tried to, like, justify it to themselves.
Right. Maybe they just didn't care at that point. They're like, well, we already made our decision, I guess. Like, what are we going to do?
They're like, Spock's not even, like, a full Vulcan anyways, you know?
Right. You know, it does seem a little disrespectful. But, you know, their customs are a little silly anyway. So it's hard to tie in logic to that ceremony.
Yeah, that's true. Johanna says, who mourns for Adonis could have been an interesting comment on religion, but it's just not. Also, it's sad to see how Lieutenant Palamas is supposed to be a capable scientist, but is portrayed as losing all her brain cells upon seeing Apollo. Totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of Lieutenant MacGyver's in Space Seed. Yep, and I think maybe you mentioned that, Alex, in the episode.
Yes, yeah.
The Changeling is somewhat unremarkable to me. Doesn't really do anything wrong, but there isn't much there either. Mirror, mirror. I forgot that I actually really liked this episode. In my memory, it got overshadowed by the Mirror Universe episodes in later Star Trek shows, which are rather gimmicky. I agree there are too many of those, which, again, Alex, is what you said. I guess it's time for a proper rewatch. I hope you and everyone listening is doing well. Live long and prosper and be healthy. Johanna.
Thanks for writing, Johanna.
Thanks, Johanna.
Yes, love to hear your thoughts on the episodes here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing.
Okay, guys, we got two left. We're getting there. We got a lot of emails today, but subspace messages, excuse me. But we're
what's an email?
Right, what's an email? But we're very excited to hear from all you guys. We're making up for last episode where we had none. So
yeah.
Anyway, this one is email from Sam B. Except the second email is inverted. It's mirrored. If you can
Whoa.
See that on the docs.
Oh my god, that's so cute.
Right,
Sam
I wonder
B,
how he did
stop.
That. It's impressive. Anyway,
Does he get the theme song for a second email in a row?
No. Come on.
Okay, all right. Admiral's log, stardate Wednesday. While en route to Matrimonious 4 to pick out napkins for our wedding reception, Spaghetti Corps and I accidentally flew through a polarized ionic supercell singularity and arrived in the Mirror Universe. That's a perfectly named space phenomenon.
Big time.
If that isn't straight from an episode, it absolutely sounds like it is.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, that's great. Science.
He says, I have given myself a fake beard to fit in, and it will be a seamless disguise once the bleeding stops. In hindsight, I shouldn't have used staples.
Oh my god.
While dodging Imperial patrols, lo and behold, we encountered the ISS podcast.
Oh,
I tapped
no.
into their broadcast, and since this is the Mirror Universe, was subjected to 1 hour and 23 minutes of the shittiest podcast I've ever heard in my life. The sound
design sure?
was terrible.
Universe.
The hosts were unfunny and argued the whole time. And their version of Mary Kill Ponfar is just called Kill Kill Agony Booth. Interestingly, Mirror Alex was the one wearing Marlena's wigs and outfits. What's
Hell
that?
Yeah.
That sounds apt to this universe still.
He was rocking it.
Right? Yeah, I wish. I actually happen to be wearing that right now, Sam, not that you can see me.
What a coincidence.
Right? He says, I escaped back to our universe and listened to your latest episode. It was very good. I've always been fascinated by the Mirror Universe and alternate universes / timelines in general.
Me too, I love that
shit.
For
my own fiction, he says. Yeah, the same. Right? He says, but I don't see how the Terran Empire gets anything done when they're busy torturing everyone and murdering their boss all the time.
It's mad inefficient.
Yeah, no, that would never work. Everyone would constantly be training for their new position. Darfleet HQ must be like a perpetual Hunger Games 24/7.
Uh-huh, big time.
Enterprise and Discovery did prequel visits to the Mirror Universe, but DS9 remains the only show to check in on it at a later point, which tragically means we never got to see Mirror Picard, Picard Season 2 notwithstanding. The TNG novel Dark Mirror has a good imagining of an ISS Enterprise D, though.
Ooh.
Anyway, I'm glad I get to live in this universe and hear the good version of the podcast. Live long and prosper, or as they say in the Mirror Universe, live fast and get fucked. Cheers, Samuel P.
Oh my god, live fast and get fucked. Oh my god, that's so
funny. We'll have to remember
so
that
funny.
For our sign off.
I also just love Kill Kill Agony Booth. That's kill, so kill fucking agony. Funny. Okay, is this our last one?
Last one.
Okay, thanks for sticking with it, guys. I think it's worth it because these are so wonderful to hear.
No, this is one of my favorite segments. I hope you guys feel the same way.
Big time. All right, and we hear again from our friend, Lieutenant Kern. Mirror
Siblings.
You bookmarked
it, first and last email.
Oh, love that. Now that you've hit Mirror Mirror, I can tell you that it's among my top three TOS episodes. Same. It has all the elements you mentioned about what makes a great Trek episode. You've got a strong plot, good writing, good pacing, a great ensemble performance, and great guest actors. It's no surprise that Nichelle Nichols, George Takei, and Walter Koenig rank it among their favorite episodes. It's definitely my favorite of her episode, as it shows how badass she can be, and it also shows her ripped tummy. That was me adding that, sorry. Lieutenant Marlena Moreau. Wait, is it Moreau?
I think so.
Okay, we never listen, as you guys know. Made a big impression on me watching the episode for the first time as a kid. What's really impressive is Barbara Luna did such a great job while battling strep throat and a 103-degree fever, fam. She was giving me a 103-degree fever. they postponed the kissing scene for a few weeks until she was feeling better. They put her in that wrap to hide how she had lost weight due to the illness. Oh, poor girl.
Man, that is a nasty strep throat.
I know. Imagine having to make out with somebody like right after they're getting better from strep throought. Like, no thanks.
And a chat.
But also she looks like that. So, you know. Leonard Nimoy rocks it out of the park as Mirror Spock. Enterprise goes into the backstory of the Terran Empire with how the Mirror Earth captured the Vulcan ship that made first contact with the Zephram Cochrane. That's so interesting. Earth reverse engineered the tech to conquer the Vulcans. So with this retroactive headcanon, you've got a Spock who is conflicted about serving the Terran Empire that has conquered his people. Discovery throws in the detail that Mirror Spock is estranged from Sarek, who is part of the Resistance. It's a bummer that DS9 established that Spock becomes Emperor, but his reforms so weaken the Empire that it falls to the Klingons. Yeah, I don't know if I love that, but like all of those details are really interesting.
Yeah, no, he's managed to kind of piece together a really cohesive Mirror Universe timeline, actually.
Yeah, well, and also I just love like, I love an alternate universe where it like shows what happened. And like, yeah, like the first contact was like so significant. So of course that's like where things would have gone wrong.
Yeah.
One thing I wish was different was that we had seen more of the Mirror crew interacting with the Prime crew. It would have been fun watching Spock take command after refusing Mirror Kirk's orders to attack the planet. Some fun tidbits include how Spock's Vulcan bodyguard is played by the same actor whose job was to enforce the rules at the marriage ceremony in A Mock Time.
Which arguably Pharrell, could be the same character, too. Just the mirror version of him. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, this guy's just got that Vulcan look.
Right.
Pharrell, who is Kirk's bodyguard, is listed in the end credits simply as Kirk's henchman. The male computer voice is John Winston, the actor who plays Lieutenant Kyle. I still don't know
your
who
favorite
Lieutenant
character,
Kyle is,
Sammy,
and
Lieutenant
at this point,
Kyle.
I'm too afraid to ask.
He's the Chief O'Brien of this show.
You may have missed the dialogue, but the computer said Mirror Kirk took command by assassinating Captain Pike. I missed that. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Oh,
did he fully
God.
Assassinate him or just relegate him to a chair?
You remarked that Tantalus sounded familiar. Tantalus 5 was the penal colony that they went to in Dagger of the Mind in Season 1. I don't know if that's a connection to the Tantalus field that Mirror Kirk used to kill his enemies.
That's exactly what I was
love,
thinking of, though.
Like,
yeah, I was like
references to like Greek and Roman, and
they do,
et
yeah.
You know?
It's like you don't get that many, like
right.
You can't use the same one twice like that.
I know. Come on. Earlier script versions for Mirror Mirror were radically different. Only Kirk was transported to the Mirror Universe. But instead of being evil, this Starfleet was less advanced than our version. Wow, that's boring. I'm glad they did what they did.
Well, actually, this sounds kind of
Federation...
interesting, though.
Oh, okay. The Federation was feeling desperate because it was losing a war. Moreau was Kirk's wife and turned him into... It's like she turned him into Spock. Turned
she
him into
reported
Spock
him
for
to
being
Spock.
A possible spy when she realized he was different. Spock mind melded with Kirk, which we haven't seen yet, to uncover the truth. Kirk decided to help that universe's Starfleet by giving them the technology to create phasers before returning home. Yeah, that's definitely not nearly as good as the final draft.
No, yeah, I definitely prefer the current version, but that doesn't sound terrible. A lot of these early versions sound like, well, that glad they didn't do
that's
that.
True.
But this one's kind of like,
this is
oh.
watchable.
Yeah.
Long live the Empire, Lieutenant Junior Grade Kern, or as I like to say, live fast and get fucked.
Live fast and get fucked.
It's just so funny. Wow. Thank you all for writing in and telling us so many interesting things I can't even pick.
Yeah, we just learned quite a bit. And great emails, everybody. Thank you so much for writing. It's fantastic to hear from all of you, even Badmiral Dad. So, yes. And Kern and Sam B, you guys got a shout out on the quiz show, actually. I forgot.
You got to give it a listen.
Yeah, because we know all of our info from you too. So, yes. So, we'll close
and
our
Jasper
hailing frequencies
C.
for now. But send us some more. Yeah, send us
and
some
Johanna.
More messages.
Hi,
yes.
Johanna.
Yes, we love you all. keep writing. It's great to hear from you. And we'll keep reading. Let's take it to the next segment. As I understand it, Sammy, you have a surprise segment prepared for me.
Surprise bonus segment.
It's a surprise bonus segment. We
surprise
don't know
bonus
what it
segment.
Is.
Tell Jose he'll get us chili peppers when we get there. Tell him they're prime Mexican reds. I handpicked them myself.
That should be the sound cue to lead us into it, right?
So for those of you who were super cool, watched Pokemon when you were a kid, you remember that whenever we go to commercial break, they would do, who's that Pokemon? Well, today we're doing, who's that Star Trek girl?
Oh,
I'm
boy.
Going to show Alex girls from episodes of Star Trek that we've already seen, and he's going to see if she can tell me what their names are.
Oh my god. I don't think I know any of their names. Okay.
It's okay. We'll start it off easy. Okay, here's girl number one.
Okay, it's Yeoman Rand.
Yeoman Rand! Good job, you got it.
I know
so
her.
Alex has one one out of one right, so
Oh my gosh, should I do the
Janice
little,
man.
Here, I'll give myself the, there we go.
Perfect. Okay, next we have.
Oh, all right, this is Miri, everybody. We got Miri here.
Ding, ding.
The
okay,
the 19-year-old, 17-year-old.
All right, you got 2 points so far. I hope it doesn't get harder from here.
Boy. I'm
all
worried.
All right, Alex, who's this?
That's Andrea, the robot, the android
chick.
Yeah,
I knew you'd remember Andrea. Killing it. Okay,
Andrea.
I think there's 7 in total, so you're almost halfway.
Nice. All right. I think it's going to get harder now, though.
All right. Who's this?
Oh, no. It's the girl from the menagerie / the cage, who's actually ugly, but she's hot right now.
Which happens weirdly often.
Yes. Yeah. She's the other one who's also in the menagerie with him. I do not know her name, though.
Do you want to take a guess?
Yeah. I'm going to say it's like Marcia Kojak.
Marcia Kojak. Let's see. It's Vina.
Vina.
You were
so,
so wrong.
I was so close.
Okay. How about this?
Who on earth is that?
Who's this
is that
girl?
Is that from Shore Leave?
What's her name?
She's in 2 in a row. Her husband dies. And then she's in Shore Leave. Oh, boy. Lieutenant. Gosh, this is somewhere in my brain. It's like, you know, I wish I had that that Bradley Cooper limitless pill so I could, like, tap into it. Lieutenant Gomez.
Lieutenant Gomez? All right, this was actually Sarah Jane Smith from Doctor Who.
She's someone completely unrelated. That was a trick question, no fair.
I got you. Okay, who's this?
That's Majel Barrett as number one, who is named Una.
Una, number one. I don't think she had a name. I think it's just number one.
Oh.
I think maybe you're thinking of the Spanish word for one.
Might be. I think that's her. I wonder if I'm getting her name right. She has a name in Strange New Worlds.
Oh, that makes sense. And Una would be a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is our last one, I think.
Oh, it's Kirk's brother's wife. She's all sweaty in the bed.
She sure is.
So her last name must be Kirk.
Uh-huh. You're halfway there.
Paula? Paula Kirk.
Yes. R.L.A. or something like that.
All right.
Not Paula.
Wow, I was bad at that.
So that has been Who's That Star Trek Girl?
Who's That Star Trek Girl? Okay. What a segment. Okay, I did better than I might have thought. The
yeah,
Doctor Who
good.
Character threw me off a little bit.
I just love that you're like, she's in 2 episodes in a row.
Yeah, I thought she was the Shore Leave girl. I said who I thought she was. I had a very specific person I thought she was. I was thinking the resolution of that photo was a bit too good, though. And, like, it looked like modern photography. And then and the
yeah,
rest of them looked like they were filmed
find,
in the 60s. The 60s lighting and 60s
shows
makeup
from the same
and stuff.
Time period that were, like, in color and, like, looked convincingly like they could have. I don't know. Yeah. That was the best
That's
I could
funny.
Do.
Okay. All right, guys. Next, we're going to guess the plots. Here we go.
Yeah. So for this segment, I tell Alex the name of the episode we're about to watch, and he fabricates an episode based on the title, basically.
Yep.
So Alex, the name of the episode that we're about to watch is called The Apple.
The Apple? Oh my gosh. I had no idea there was an episode called The Apple. It must be bad. Okay, it's gonna be some sort of Adam and Eve type reference, I'm thinking. We're probably gonna land on some sort of Eden-esque planet, as we have many a time before. Wow, it's a perfect duplicate of Earth. Look at all the foliage. Some of them are different colors. And Sulu's really excited about the plants. And then there's
an apple. No, actually, you know what? Knowing this show, there's not an apple. There's never an apple in the episode. The apple is like a metaphor for like some sort of machine that's on this planet, I bet. That somehow robbed them of their innocence and allowed them to know the difference between good and evil and realize that they were naked. So now everyone on the planet is wearing clothes, too. Gosh, let's see. And they all worship a supercomputer that, represents knowledge. And he's convinced them all to be, I don't know, maybe he makes them all stupid and they all live in this garden. There we go, that's what I'm gonna say. A supercomputer is taking care of everybody, they all live in a garden, everything's perfect. Kirk and Spock come down, they're like, what's wrong with these people? They all don't know the difference between good and evil because this computer does everything for them. Kind of like in the Red Hour episode with Landru. And then Spock uses science and Kirk gives a rousing speech. And Bones isn't heavily involved in this one. Then Kirk meets a woman and grabs her shoulders. And then they leave, and Kirk and Spock and Bones flirt with each other as they fly away and talk about some lesson that was kind of unclear to us, but they seem to feel that they've imbued upon us.
Okay, I know that Star Trek is formulaic, but can you play a little ding-ding sound effect? Because that is as close as you've gotten without knowing the episode previously.
Oh, yeah? Oh, nice.
That was so good. I think the audience is, like, shook right now. That was so accurate.
Oh, my God. That's funny. I was, like, literally changing my idea as I was saying it.
Yeah. Well, and every time you said something wrong, you then said something correct that, like, contradicted it. So, like, wow. Okay, I'm excited.
All right. Nice. Well, I'm not excited now that I know that that's what's going to be because that didn't sound very interesting. But
just you wait.
Oh, okay. All right. Here we go.
And now for our feature presentation.
Okay, we are orbiting an Earth-like planet that is red.
Oh, I love the name of the red set. It's so
fun.
And
the sky is red. I love any time
the sky is a crazy color.
Speaking
of Sammy being an idiot in her youth, I was always like, how did they find a place with such a red sky?
We got a very cute girl among the landing party. We just beamed down six.
So
Kirk,
cute.
Spock, Chekhov,
the giant rabbits. As predicted.
Yep. We got the giant rabbit, another red shirt, and a very cute
just
girl.
Just kidding. You thought.
Oh, we're beaming down another three, and McCoy is among them. McCoy and the boys. He's got two red shirts with him.
He's like, I brought my young Twinkie boyfriends. I'm right? Just kidding. They're not Twinkie boys.
I'd like you guys to meet the McCoy boys. This is Mac and this is Coy.
They all just start snapping like they're in a musical gang.
Hey, hey, we better take some tricode scanner readings.
I feel like William Shatner wore this dress shirt once in a context that made sense. And he's like, wait, I look hot as fuck in this. And then they like really had to talk him into like not wearing it. So he wears it when it doesn't like make any sense.
That's funny. Oh my God. The Spock is literally saying like exactly what I said he was going to say and guess the plot. You're not kidding.
Uh-huh.
He's talking about the temperature
like
and the
Eden.
Plants and the soil.
Just
yeah.
Wait. How long do you think it's going to be before they say it's like Eden here? Okay. Or just like Russia. Either
just
way.
Like Russia.
There
more
it
like
is!
The Garden of Eden, Edson. There we go.
The Garden of Eden was just outside Moscow. Also,
I like
I
the
love
Chekhov
this girl who's like, Chekhov's actually so hot.
Yeah, she is on him. She is like on his shoulder. She's sitting closer to him than Geordi and Data sit in the conference
Whatever
room.
He's doing is really working for her. We've never seen this before. Vaguely
it's a
threatening
plant. It's full of bullets. Oh, and it shot the bullet straight into this guy. Oh, our red suit is down. Wow. He did not last 2 minutes on
I
that planet.
I feel like that guy would have been a good actor, too.
But, you know, I've got to say, non-Starfleet material.
Why not?
How are you going to walk straight up to the mysterious plant full of bullets?
The paradise must have looked like this.
That delivery was everything.
Okay, I'll just tell you right off the bat, because I think it'll be obvious to you very soon.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those bad episodes that I love.
Mm.
So apple.
What if they just went to a planet that was like Eden and it was just great and perfect? But it's like, no conflict.
To be
just,
like Eden.
Just hang out, have a little filler episode.
They meet Adam and Eve and a snake. They literally just do the garden, the Book of Genesis. Oh, Scotty's up on the bridge.
I love when Scotty's on the bridge.
He's got,
when he's supposed to be there.
He has Lieutenant Kyle at the helm, along with the rabbit guy, who I thought was just down on the planet.
I thought Lieutenant Kyle was the rabbit, and now I'm so confused.
Well, how come that rabbit guy is really prominent. I can't believe I never noticed him before. But he's in like every episode.
Didn't exactly see that. So wild.
I gotta watch and see if he's also in the landing party, though. That'd be crazy.
Look at this girl. She is just, like, so cuddled up next to Jekka. I love my Russian boy toy with the stupidest hair in the world.
Right. Yeah, they do have their arms looped. Which feels not that professional, if I'm being honest. But it's like, a man just died, and they're, like, snuggling up.
Right, and Scotty's like, I want to go for a walk. It's like, you guys have no respect. I'd be so fucking pissed if I was like on the Enterprise crew and I died and everybody's like smelling flowers and like holding
very
hands with their
cavalier,
girlfriends.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Have a little respect, assholes.
It's like, at least it was our least popular ensign that just died.
They're like, we all hated that guy anyways.
Ensign. Smith.
Yes, Captain. Wow, Mallory's a hottie. I mean, he's going to die in like 2 seconds, so I'm not trying to get attached, but... I want you and Marple to make a full reconnaissance. Marple? The fuck? Her name is Marple.
Sounds like two names combined. Loosely based on Majel, maybe. Oh, that isn't the rabbit in the landing party. He just looks kind of like him. Look, he looks like he's fully unconscious. The guy in the background?
Seriously.
Eyes shut.
What's wrong with his face?
He's got just way too much bronzer on.
So much. And, like, not well applied either. It's just
it's
bronzer
like
on the
globby.
Top half of his face and none on the bottom half?
Yep.
His makeup was done by an insane person.
Uh-oh. A humanoid is approaching. From
Spock
the bushes.
Loves to be a drama queen.
Oh.
Girlfriend's mad that she's not getting enough attention.
Yep.
And now Mr. Hendorf dead, somebody watching us. It's frightening.
She doesn't seem frightened. She seems quite aloof.
I've been wanting to get you in a place like this for a long time.
Chekhov.
I have long
so
wanted to sleep with you in a forest while people are being murdered around us.
Maybe yeomans are like the like future equivalent of like... brides from like Eastern Europe.
So mail order brides?
Yeah.
Why are you just assuming this chick is a yeoman, Sammy?
She is a yeoman.
Oh, is she? Okay.
I know for
I didn't
fact.
Catch that. All right. That's funny. Oh, there's a fork in the road. Oh, they're going around it.
Ha! Literally.
Just saying, literal fork sticking out of the road. It's huge. But they ignored it. Stupid. Let's see, Spock has found a rainbow rock.
Extremely low specific gravity.
I love stuff like this. This is like some of my favorite Star Trek-ness, where they're just kind of wandering around some weird planet.
I know, right?
A strange new world of sorts. Oh, man, the rocks are explosive. Spock just chucked it.
Would you mind being careful where you throw your rocks, Mr. Spock?
Obviously, highly unstable, Captain. This could be a find of some importance. In large quantities, it could be a considerable source of power.
And maybe we shouldn't step on them. With landmines. Yeah, exactly. It's starting to seem less like Eden by the minute and more like just a very dangerous jungle planet.
Yeah, right? Just because it's pretty.
Right, maybe we were a little
preemptive. These guys just love the classics, you know? They're like, we've got to reference either the Bible or John Milton. Or a poem about John Keats,
or Greek mythology. Yeah, you
like,
kind of get the sense they only read like 10 books or something and just like really heavily referenced them.
I know.
Look at these like cocoon, pinecone, beehive sort of things coming out of the tree behind them. I love all the alien foliage happening.
Uh-huh.
But it's like nothing I've ever seen before.
And it's pinpointed in the area of that village we located down there.
We're heading there now, Scotty.
Is this the one with the giant snake head?
It is the one with the giant snake head.
Oh, and the red people. I love this one, actually. We watched this a long time ago. It's just so much sci-fi stuff happening.
It's so aesthetically great.
Yeah. Bones is checking the expiration date on his nail polish.
Like those that kill Heindorf. See the stuff on the end?
Watch out.
There's another flat gun.
Kill your stuff to find a paradise.
Jim!
Can we talk about this for a second?
Yeah.
Buck literally just sacrificed his life for the captain. And of course, he calls him Jim while doing it. They are so in love.
He pushed him out of the way and the plant shot him instead.
He didn't hesitate.
He didn't.
Also, you know, no mention of McCoy at all.
That's what I was about to say. Bones was also, he also saved Bones and he like did not care. He was like, I'm doing this for Jim, just to be clear, Bones.
I'm doing this for my baby.
My boy.
Oh, okay, that's all.
He's looking quite alarmed with all these plant bullets in him.
Star Trek is a love story.
Yeah, 100%.
I've been saying.
Oh, man,
and
Spock
down. And that's when
down.
Spock dies.
Oh, no.
Just kidding. You can't kill that motherfucker.
No, thankfully his Vulcan, physiology
Kirk is like,
will prevent
I care this time.
Yeah.
I didn't care about the other guy dying.
He's like, Dork Worf, or whatever the guy's name was, you know, not a big deal. Spock, that's a problem.
Like, that is not okay. Turn handsprings and he's not
responding. Gotta get him back. That seems irresponsible.
I blasted him full of steroids, sir. I'm gonna just keep blasting him with steroids till he wakes up.
He's like, I coked him up like nobody's business, but no reaction.
He'll look like the porcupine version of Hellraiser by the time I'm done.
Bronzer Man is still okay, though. Chekhov is still okay. Yeah, they're beaming up. Good call.
Okay, that guy is standing directly over
Spock. He's straddling
Spock.
I don't know what that's about. Oh, no. There's some sort of interference preventing our super reliable transporters from working.
Ruh-roh. I guess we're going to have to make do on the planet.
How often would you say that the transporters don't work? Would you think maybe about 50% of the time?
Whenever the plot calls for it.
It's so often, it's crazy.
I'm not mad about it.
Can't make transporter contact, sir.
As long as they do the work of being like, it's not working because of this, I'm like, perfect. Awesome.
I wish they had, like, you know? I wish sometimes it was, like, really stupider reasons. Like you'd be like, sir, we're installing an update on the transporters. Like, it
oh
won't
be
God, ready for 2 hours.
So funny.
Like, the loading bar is filling, but
I
the remaining time is going up.
I mean, 1 hour.
Gamma Trianguli 6 has suddenly turned into a nightmare. We're being watched and followed. Mr. Spock has been injured, and now we find we are unable to return to the ship.
Scotty. This looks like a good time for a shuttlecraft that we know that they have.
I don't know, sir. I'll check it and get back to you. Scott out.
You all right?
Dr. McCoy's potion is acting like all his potions, turning my stomach. Other than that, I'm...
ungrateful.
It's also funny to call it a potion, like Bones is some sort of witch.
I know, it's so, like, so disrespectful.
Yeah. I surmised you were unaware of that. It's like a serum or something. Like...
I like how Spock is, like, making it not a big deal at all.
Clumsiness, which prevented me from moving out of the way.
I see. Well, next time, just yell. I can step out of the way as quickly as the next man.
Oh, my God. The subtext.
I've never known you to have great reflexes, Captain.
The subtext.
Okay, so we've got the remaining people. Kirk, Spock, Bones, Chekhov, the hot Yeoman, and this weird bronzer guy. Yeoman, thank you. And this weird bronzer guy in the red shirt who just wandered off by himself. Who do you think is going to die next, Sammy?
I thought we had three red shirts. I know one of them died, but I feel like we should have two left at
least. Yeah, you're right. I think we're still one short. Maybe not.
Maybe he scouted. Oh, I think he scouted ahead. I think they said that and we weren't paying attention.
I miscounted the men.
Uh-oh. Bronzer, guys. Get ready.
Lieutenant Bronzer is distracted by the sky. There's clouds forming.
I love this episode.
My God, it's like in this rainforest, it could rain at any moment. Oh! He was just struck by lightning.
It's just disintegrated.
It just evaporated on the spot. Oh, there's more lightning. It seems
Watch
the lightning
out.
Is... It seems the lightning is attracted to Bronzer, sir.
Talk about a hostile planet.
Look at this fruit on the right.
Yeah.
Would
you
eat it?
It looks like a weird gourd in a tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they just spray painted a gourd. I think you're right. That was a couple of them, actually. They look yummy.
Don't eat them. They'll explode.
They don't even realize that their buddy's dead. It's just a smoldering heap.
No, they're about to.
Oh.
Beautiful day, Mr. Spock.
Probably a good time to stop saying that, Kirk.
What a cloud in the sky.
He's got a monologue.
Also, stop touching the plants. Like, they kill you.
He's just chewing on that scenery.
Here's
the other guy.
Lieutenant that scouted ahead.
Marbles or whatever.
Yeah, garble. Mallory.
The other one was something stupid.
Mallory. Mallory, you all right? Come in.
The village is primitive.
Damn, he's doing such a good job, but you know, no one can appreciate it because the walkies aren't working.
Something else. Captain, come in.
Oh, no. Send him a carrier pigeon.
Man, this set is so great.
Yeah, it is. I love it.
I love the, like, layers and depth of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've done a great job.
And, like, it looks like they keep going to different places, you know? I mean, except
yeah,
for that
instead of just
there,
wandering
like
through
it
the
was
same...
Before, but...
Right. This same, like, 50-foot space. Oh, no, the landmine! Oh! Wow. Oh, my God, that looks great, actually. Can we go back for that? I'm going back for it.
This episode is so funny. It's like when I'm narrating a game of Mafia...
Mallory
like, you
just,
got struck
oh
by lightning.
God, right?
You stepped on a rock that exploded.
But the doctor saved him.
But the doctor saved Spock.
Yep. Oh, no. At least his legs didn't get blown off, which is definitely what it looked like should have happened.
That's too dark.
Right? I think that was the best Hendorf. That one's Hendorf.
I know Kaplan's family.
No, Hendorf died first. This is Mallory.
Jeremy, you couldn't have stopped it.
Lightning guy we don't know the name of.
Father helped me get into the academy.
I like how they just
give
him a backstory for no reason. It's like, we weren't asking for that. You don't have to have a personal connection to him.
In each case, this was unavoidable.
I could have prevented all of it.
I don't see how.
By not having us all wander aimlessly through the woods.
I mean, what else are they going to do?
Stand still until the transporters work again.
That's not the way the show works. They're explorers.
Disregard. Those orders, if I consider them overly hazardous.
Yeah, see, Kirk's on my side. I think it's
I'm
all Kirk's
Spock's
fault.
I'm on Spock's side, as always.
Not worth the lives of three of my men. Drop my guard for a minute.
I've lost
but
three of my most mediocre
Spock
men
is
today.
Always at Kirk's side.
And the ship's in trouble.
No one has ever stated that Starfleet duty was particularly safe. You followed the correct and logical course, done everything that commanded.
Oh, he's telling him, don't be sad.
I know. The
Captain,
sentence.
Don't be sad. I love you.
I love you.
Marple, Chekhov, at attention.
I think Marple's maybe the girl.
No, Marple's that boy. Something
Marple's the last boy.
The last red boy.
Yeah, we're blowing through red shirts like they're nothing today.
Blowing through, quite literally.
Yeah. Which of those deaths would you have preferred, Sammy? The plant bolt, the lightning bolt, or the
is pretty
explosive
funny.
Mine? Totally lightning is pretty funny.
For your information, I have a very high efficiency rate.
Ensign, I will not have you address me in that tone of voice.
What do you want, violins?
Kirk punched this redskin, man. Oh, and he's crying.
This is why I couldn't be on Starfleet. I would cry if anybody was mean to me.
Oh, he's so sad. He's like, why'd you come hit me?
That's so mean.
That was mean.
I won't hurt you.
He was just curious.
I won't hurt you.
He's just watching.
Struck me.
Oh, nice. They all speak English.
With your hand.
They always do. We don't talk about it.
You've been following us. Watching us. Why?
I am the eyes of Vol. He must see.
Who is Vol?
Vol is Vol. He is...
Talk about too much bronzer.
A giant snake head. Yeah, this guy's made of bronzer.
I am Akuta. I am the leader of the feeders of Vol.
I love this alien design.
Feeders of Vol. And interesting, this guy is, like, mostly hairless, except his shoulders are quite hairy.
What? Really?
I just think it's interesting when guys have shoulder hair. I guess just because I don't grow shoulder hair, so I always find it interesting.
Huh. Oh, he does have hairy shoulders.
I am the eyes and the voice of Vol. It is Vol's wish.
Captain.
This guy seems to have some sort of obsession with Vol.
Shut the fuck up about Vol.
If you'll permit me, sir.
I'd just like to read all of your thoughts by touching your face.
He's like, I just want to give you a little kiss.
Oh, no, that's not what he's doing. Oh, we have a digital zoom on these antennas coming out of his neck.
They are my ears for...
Ah, yes, I guess that is the...
They were given to me in the dim time, so that people could understand his...
Plural of antenna.
His body mods.
You speak of the people of Zom. Are they nearby?
I love how Kirk pronounces it completely differently. Like, it's obvious right. That Shatner just pronounced it differently when he was rehearsing, and he's like, whatever, who cares about being consistent?
Yeah, this guy just said Vol.
They're like, Vol, and he's like, yeah, Val.
Row. Val? Yeah.
Condition red. Captain?
Lieutenant Kyle stumbles across the bridge.
That's Lieutenant Kyle.
Yeah, the big Nazi-looking guy.
Okay, well, just because he's very Aryan doesn't mean he's a Nazi.
Put it on maximum.
No, you're right. Not, that's not fair of me.
Status. He's still holding.
Kyle.
Oh, sir.
Although I feel like I bet this guy played a Nazi in something. Like, I would totally cast him as a, like, an SS guy.
Yeah, big, beefy Aryan guy.
Yeah.
With a huge jaw.
Yeah, he's got a massive head.
Hurry up on the figure, Kyle.
Maintain full reverse thrust against the pull. Put a team on that warp drive. Get it working.
Why would Scotty call Kirk and be like, what should I do? Like, Scotty knows more about this than Kirk does, you know?
With maximum thrust against the pull.
He's like, Kyle just handed me an Etch-a-Sketch, and it says, nothing worky, sir.
Scotty. You're my chief engineer. You know everything about that ship that there is to know, more than the men who designed it. If you can't get those warp engines working...
You're fired.
Ha! King.
Scotty was unfazed by that, too.
Yeah.
He was like, well, if I can't get them working, you'll be dead anyway, so
yeah. Oh, no, he said Vol.
All the world knows about Vol. He causes the rain...
Oh, no, this guy's hairy all over.
All good comes from Vol.
You're right.
It's just hard to see under the bronzer. I wish to speak to you. Or the concealer.
Yeah, the red.
Foundation? I don't know. Whatever. The body paint.
Yes, the red body paint.
There's the snake head.
It's Vol. He's a giant paper mache
snake. Imagine looking at that
snake.
Thing and being like, that's God. Like, no offense at anyone, but like, really? Your God just looks evil and terrible and cruel.
Right? He is a little janky, too. That said, I
he
love it.
He looks like an evil paper mache Disney villain, you know? Like,
right? It looks like it's just a testament to this art team. It's like, oh, we have to make a, like, two-story tall paper mache snakehead, and you have one day. Like,
yeah,
you know,
ass.
That's, like, exactly what I feel like I'm looking at. Like,
big time. And it looks awesome.
And they gave it their all, yeah.
They gave it their ball.
Very high order of workmanship.
The crew's like, thank you, Leonard.
Generating great power.
This is not the center, Mr. Spock.
No, Captain. The center is deep in the earth beneath us. This is an access point. It would also seem to be a...
Oh! Vol just blasted Spock.
I love his face. Oh. It's been a rough day for Mr. Spock.
Yeah, right? He needs to stop wandering into stuff. He's throwing explosive rocks and getting shot by plants. Some 30 feet beyond
the figure in but he's powerful. He could take it.
Our cute yeoman is, like, smirking about it.
Her facial expressions are so funny. They never match what appears to be happening.
No, it's like, this is, like, a deadly serious situation. Three people are dead.
Sometimes they just get a girl because she's cute, and it really shows.
Yep.
When he is hungry, you may be able to speak with him, if he desires it.
When does he get hungry?
Soon. Come. We will give you food and drink. If you
were tired, I love on these planets that they always act as weird as possible about everything.
Normal by their standards, I suppose.
I love these costumes. Also, these girls are so cute.
Yeah, right? Man, everybody's got a lot of body paint on.
Early 2000s girls who went to this, like, tanning beds way too often and, like, bleached their hair too much. But, like, it's a cute look on these girls.
Yeah, a standard variety LA woman.
Yeah.
These are actually just a bunch of LA actors, is all. That's why they're all red like this.
They didn't change
they're all
anything about
red
them.
Red skin, blonde hair. Replacements.
None are necessary. They are forbidden by law.
But when a man and woman fall in love.
Love. Strange words. Children, love. What is love?
Baby, don't hurt
She's
me.
She's like, do you guys not fuck like rabbits all the time, like me and Chekhov? Ah.
Yes, the holding, the touching.
Ball has forbidden this.
Well, there goes paradise.
McCoy's saying what they're all thinking.
Right. It's like, I liked the killer plants and the lightning bolts that strike you directly in the exploding rocks, but this is a bridge too far. Okay, so the planet is also called Vol.
Our homes are open to you.
A little confusing.
Oh, cute girl.
Yeah, I like how they're like, the touching is not permitted, but this woman who's tying this flower to Kirk's arm is like touching his arm as much as possible.
Not that kind of touching. Also, did you hear Kirk compliment Spock on the flowers that he was getting?
Cute. They seem like a fun bunch.
Yeah, they're all just stoned out of their minds.
That's what I was going to say. They seem like they've been out at like... Bonnaroo, I guess. Coachella, thank you. That's the one I was trying to think of. Yeah, it's just like a bunch of Coachella folks. They're all on like a ton of acid and they just got left in the sun too long.
Oh, this house is so cute. I would live here in a heartbeat.
This is cute. It's like a big cottage sort of thing.
This girl is such a bitch always. You can just tell. Her arms are always crossed.
Yeah,
she always looks mad.
She's always folding her arms and she's always rolling her eyes. Like,
Definitely got an attitude. Just the way Chekhov likes them. Status report, Scotty.
Yeah, it feels like a weird character choice. I guess I like that she's at least bringing a little bit of personality to
it. Good personality, even if it's not a great one.
Yeah, right.
Then use your imagination. Tie every ounce of power the ship has into the impulse engines. Discard the warp drive and the cells if you have to, and crack out of there with the main section, but get that ship out of there.
Sir, I'm going to switch over everything but the life support systems and boost the impulse power, but that's just about as dangerous.
Do it, Kirk out.
Incredible. Okay. Report. I just ran a turret. I'm glad our walkie-talkies don't work from 100 feet apart, but we can talk to the ship that's rotating around the planet.
No arteriosclerosis. In simple terms, Jim, they're not growing old. And I can't begin to tell you how old they are. 20 years or 20,000 years.
Should we ask?
If you asked them, they would be like, I was born when the stars were in the shape of a Q. You know, you wouldn't get a clear answer.
I think they'd be like, I was born, as Vol said. I have lived for Vol amount of years.
I guess that's the difference if you ask a boy versus asking a girl.
No vices, no replacements needed.
He hands his full plate of fruit to...
They're really trying to sell this paradise thing.
Yeah, it's like, it's not a paradise. It's just got plants. Plants does not equal paradise.
That, like, does not say very good things about, like, what Earth looks like now.
I saw a plant a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, they're rare around here.
Ugh, I could not live there.
Oh, they're walking inside Vol's mouth.
Oh,
it's the slow version of the Lerpa battle song.
Oh my god, you're right.
There's no living being there. There's a machine. Nothing more.
Oh yeah, my guess the plot was stupid accurate.
That's what I'm saying. As soon as you said, wait, there's no apple, there's actually a supercomputer, I was just like, well, fuck.
Yeah, I put it together.
That's not the way.
I guess just mathematically, I was bound to get one of them right eventually.
Yeah, you really nailed it. Intelligence.
But it needs to eat frequently. So it can't have any great power reserves.
That may not be of any help. The Enterprise has only 10 hours left in which to break free.
What happens?
Stakes are medium.
Evolve weakens.
Yeah.
Around feeding.
Big time.
Spock, check the electromagnetic section of the astrophysics lab. Get an estimate of the total amount of energy being expended.
Sir, I don't think they have an astrophysics lab.
You mean send this ship? The boys are lurking. They are creeping and crawling.
Yeah, sneaking does not seem to be one of McCoy's strong suits. Like, just lowers his head slightly and shuffles through.
He's like, I'm a doctor, not a sneaker, goddamn.
Not some sort of spy.
There are certain absolutes, Mr. Spock, and one of them is the right of humanoids to a free and unchained environment. The right to have conditions which permit growth. Another is their right to choose a system which seems to work for them.
I'm really glad they're having this conversation.
You're not just going to stand by and be blinded to what's going on here. These are humanoids, intelligent. They need to advance and grow.
But sometimes they don't talk about it, you know?
Right. I like the Bones. Like, while he disagrees with a lot of, like, what seems to be Starfleet's, like, primary ideals, it's, like, it's very, it's believable. It's, like, the sort of thing that, like, you know, it's, like, probably what a lot of audience members are feeling when they're watching. It's, like, shouldn't we be, like, setting these people on a course to be more like us? It's, like, no, but you can see why that would be his instinct upon seeing this.
Well, and also, like, I feel like I've said this before, especially with, like, Dr. Crusher, but I feel like the Doctor characters do a really good job of voicing, like, more of the, like, moral side than the logical side, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
For better and for worse, you know?
Yeah, well, they're both thinking in kind of, like, you know, high sort of a way, you know? Like, like, yeah.
How are you coming along with the circuit switchover?
They're thinking Spock more on, like, the human rights end as opposed to the, like...
They're not colonizers, you know? They're not like, we have to implant our own government and teach them our way of thinking, you know?
I'd rather we didn't have to wait too long for the end of it.
Kirk out.
We got no Uhura and no Sulu this episode. But Chekhov and Scotty are getting a decent bit of screen time.
Every time I think of the Enterprise burning up and us...
Yeoman, you're wasting energy.
Captain, he totally just said Yeoman.
He said Yeoman.
Every time I think of the Enterprise burning up and us...
Yeoman, you're wasting energy.
He did. 100%.
Okay.
He said Yeoman other times, though. I watched some clips online, and I did look it up on dictionary.com. It is Yeoman, but he said Yeoman, so we're getting it from him.
I wonder what would happen. Yeoman, speculate.
He just said Yeoman there, though.
Because I feel like I heard it way more than I read it, you know? Like, I didn't read the subtitles when I first watched it.
Yeah, she is so cute.
Right?
I suppose if someone were to fall off a cliff or something, that might upset the balance of the population.
So we have to push one of them off a cliff.
It's not a great solution.
I see no alternative.
But these people, I mean, if they don't...
Soft lighting. So she's in a completely different room than them.
I know, right?
Any natural...
She looks like she's taking a school picture.
Yeah.
She's got perfect bone structure.
I know. I feel like they're all just, like, staring at her, thinking how attractive she is, and no one's actually listening to her.
Absolutely. I mean, me too.
You're the science officer. Yep. Why don't you explain it to the young lady?
Are they asking... Are they acting like she doesn't know how sex works?
Well, I believe it's safe to assume that they would receive the necessary instructions
from a machine. That I'd like to see.
Bones likes to watch. We finally understand
also,
the
he's
dynamic
like,
of the
I'm interested
throuple.
In a machine and sex while he's looking at Spock.
It shall be done.
Uh-oh. I don't think Vol approves of these visitors.
You think? But also, Vol's not letting them leave, so it's kind of on him.
Finally, we found a little grassy knoll for Chekhov and the Yeoman to take a tumble.
Any place we can be together is paradise.
How many times in this episode is the word paradise used?
I don't know, but it's actually really cute right now, not gonna lie.
Okay, these two are gonna bone so that the others can see how to do it.
Aha, they're demonstrating.
Will we be able to get back aboard?
I like that. Does she think he's, like, not telling her when they're all together? Like,
well, she's just obviously stupid as fuck, so.
Yeah. But her hair is beautiful.
Yeah. Everything about her is stunning.
Mm-hmm.
She's an idiot.
The red people are watching from the bushes.
Uh-huh. Some little voyeuristic aliens.
Their expressions are funny. It's like you can't quite tell what they're thinking. They're just curious.
I feel like it's kind of perfect because they're like a little bit confused and interested, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like they don't look like they're being pervy. They don't look like they're disturbed. They're just like, huh.
Uh-huh.
I do not understand.
They were not angry. I think it was pleasant for them.
But what is to be gained? It is not a dance. It gathers no food.
Oh, it gathers food, all right. Just kidding. I don't know.
So these guys spend pretty much all their time dancing and gathering food is what I'm picking up.
And serving Vol. And not making out. Until now.
They're suddenly realizing that each other is attractive. Their little cheek marks are so funny.
They're so cute.
He's touching her shoulder and her
so
other
somebody's
shoulder.
Somebody's shoulder gets grabbed, even if it's not exactly how you said.
Right. Yeah, that part I was wrong about. He's smooching her by her
it's
ear.
It's so cute.
Aw, they're learning to do sex stuff.
It's really tender.
It's pleasant, Makara.
Aw, it is pleasant.
She's cute. So pretty. I think he's probably cute too, but his hair is
just so
stupid as fuck.
He looks a little wacky, so it's hard to tell, but I think he's a good looking guy.
In this way?
See, this is interesting.
Oh, they're kissing!
Smooch!
Ow, ow!
We've been alive 20,000 years, and this is the first time we've tried kissing.
20,000-year-old virgins. Not for long.
He is angry.
The law is plain. I have given you the words of Vol.
Uh-oh.
Do you beg the lightning to...
Vol might be a bit of a prude.
Seems like it. Okay, so only this leader guy has the Vol antennas. Not everyone has those.
Correct.
Okay, that's interesting.
Speaks truly to me. The newcomers are a danger.
Uh-oh.
Vol's like, I never anticipated the newcomers would be so horny.
Strangers can sleep. It is Vol's own words.
I like, if you look at a lot of these people's clothes, they're like cloth. There's like a lot of like red smudges and stuff on them.
Oh, like, no way.
Every time they like touch their knee or something with the body paint. Like,
uh-huh.
Looks like a lot of them are just wearing towels, too.
His words are true.
It's like burlap.
Kill? Akuta? We do not understand.
Oh, yeah, he's really pretty.
Mm-hmm. It's
a thing to do, like feeding Vol.
Interesting. So Vol's, like, more against sex than he is against having his kids become murderers.
It seems like Vol might be a Christian. Was that too edgy?
Yeah, I think it was on point.
Claims to be pro-life.
He smashed that egg thing with that fork.
It is the word of Vol. It will be done.
to all of them.
It's like the more these guys get together, the goofier they look. There's like a line of like 10 of them right now. Like, and they all have like the same goofy hair. Soon our crew is going to have their heads smashed like that big purple egg thing.
I am concerned, Captain. This may not be an ideal society, but it is a viable one.
Bones was right. These people aren't living, they're existing. They don't create, they don't produce, they don't even think.
That's your opinion.
He's right.
Yeah,
but I'm glad that they took some time to come to that conclusion.
We'll be in direct violation of the non-interference directive.
But is the... Not robots. But who's to say that the lives of these red people are more... Well, who firstly do seem happy, in my opinion. We
owe it to them.
And who's to say their lives are more important as a life, as a species, than whatever Vol is?
But you can be, like, happy in, like, a state of servitude, and that doesn't mean that you should stay in a state of servitude, you know?
No, like, but it just seems
freedom,
like...
freedom, or, like, humanoids.
No, totally, I agree, but I guess it just seems like it doesn't really match up with Starfleet's values, you know?
Captain, Kirk out.
But there are times when you should ignore the Prime Directive.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just hard to say if this is one.
I feel like I definitely fall more on the side of they should interfere in, like, when oppression is happening. But, like, yeah, it's that's not always the solution, you know?
I'd say if they're oppressed, though.
I think they are.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, I'm not into it at all, but... To you or your people. But, you know, I've got all my opinions.
Like, they have no
planet.
Free will, you know?
And impulses,
yeah.
I believe it is reading us. Strong jump on all wavelengths.
Or at least they can't kiss each other. And that alone seems like enough.
Let's get out of there!
But they just do whatever Ball tells them, you know? They can't make choices. So for those of you keeping track at home, Spock just got struck by lightning. He got hit with one of those flower bullets.
He hit
the force field. Like, at least two out of those three things were things that killed a human, so...
Yeah, Spock is like the Terminator. This is crazy. Look at this big freaking lightning bolt scar he has on his back.
Right?
He's not even unconscious.
But also, Kirk carrying him was very impressive. You know he's got those thick thighs.
Uh-huh. Doctor... That's kind of cute. Whisked him off his feet.
Uh-oh. They got him with a big
the
club thing.
The red people
have
the four clubs.
I mean, not bad guys. You know what I mean.
Oh my god, but they are... Our people are disposing
the
these guys
fight.
Like nothing. Yeah. This is a very one-sided fight. These red guys have never fought in their life. It's pretty clear.
Yeah, because these guys are pacifists.
Yeah,
they
no, they have
fight.
No reason to. It makes complete sense. But it was like... Besides the one of our guys that they clubbed by surprise, like not a I don't think a single one landed a hit. Find out where the women are. Now they just feel awkward about it.
They're like, sorry, we don't know any better. Paul told us to do it.
We don't get what's going on. Achieve true human
stature. I submit there's no cause for worry. They've taken the first step. They've learned to kill.
Just like you wanted, McCoy, right? Meanwhile, on the Enterprise. Scotty's just smoking a cigar by himself on the bridge.
We're ready here, sir. All available power has been channeled into the impulse engines. We have 12 minutes before entering atmosphere.
Oh, fuck. Right, we really wasted reverse. Those 10 hours.
Full reverse, Mr. Kyle, all engines.
Kyle presses every single button on the panel in front of him.
Full reverse. It means you gotta press all the buttons.
Ooh, ouch. Scotty, what happened? Did you see Scotty just when he fell back into the captain's chair, the entire platform that the captain's chair on almost fell over?
Oh, no way.
It's like not bolted to the ground.
It's not a very good ship design.
There's nothing left to try again. I guess you'll have to fire me, sir.
Ugh. Damn, they're boned.
And Scotty's fired.
400 people.
Jim.
They'll die because I couldn't see a warning sign.
No, just go stop the all. Orders.
Always orders.
This whole conflict is annoying me.
Yeah, now it's time to stop the all. Like,
be a man, Kirk. Not to be like, not to play into toxic masculinity, but like, come on. Get your shit together.
Uh-oh. Chekhov's not going to let them feed Vol.
Stay with Chekhov.
He just karate chopped one of them in the chest.
Those people from feeding Vol. Don't let them feed Vol. Keep them in the hut. Mr. Spock!
I wonder if Chekhov could beat up every one of those red-skinned guys by himself.
I know his girlfriend definitely could.
Right. Located down here.
On my command, commence firing.
I feel weird using the term redskin so often, but they have literal red skin. What do you want from me here, people? Yeah. They don't look anything like Native Americans.
Let us go to him. He hungers. Please.
They're so upset.
Well, Vol's gonna have to deal with hungry. A tummy ache.
Vol's getting hangry.
Me too. Tapping its
energy cells. I would assume so.
Good. Ship's pulling away must have weakened it considerably. It has to be fed. But its reserve capacity could hold out for days.
If it had to reinforce its energy field to ward off a phaser attack, it would have to draw more heavily on its reserves.
My plan exactly. Scotty.
Scotty here, sir.
Scotty, commence firing and maintain.
We're gonna shoot Vol from space?
Yep, gonna shoot him in the fucking face.
Love it. From space to
his
face.
Hungry, hungry mouth. Oh, nope, just getting that force field.
He's blocking
They're
it.
They're melting him.
Tremendous upsurge in generated power, Captain.
They're gonna blast through the force field.
Obviously, Vol is trying to reinforce his energy field.
Good, let's see how long he can do it.
Our phasers can go all day. We're still phasering Vol.
Uh-oh.
Storm clouds gathering. Uh-oh, we got more lightning bolts. Vol is mad. Vol seems to have really similar powers to Apollo.
There's always so many powers you can
in
have.
Episodes. Yeah. Oh, smoke spewing out of Vol's mouth.
Uh-oh. It looks awesome, though.
It does look really cool. Oh, man, what a scene. Lasers, smoke, and Vol. His eyes went out. Cease fire. He's out of batteries.
Aww.
And the wind put some of Spock's hair out of place. You don't see that too often.
Yeah, very rare.
It's often like a helmet. It's just on there.
He's got that perfect bowl cut.
All right, let's see what's inside this ball. Time to enter the Hall of Vol.
Vol is dead.
Mr. Scott, status report. Tractor beam gone. Potency returning to antimatter pods. But
have all engineering... Man, we made a
Scotty,
quick
you are rehired.
Turn on this Vol situation. We're like, we should really respect their rights. And then all at once, we're like, okay, all of them, now they're all our prisoners and we're shooting their god.
Well, and to be fair, Vol was like preventing them from leaving, you know, which is also part of it.
All of them. Yeah. So it's like, yeah.
It was Vol who put the fruit on the trees.
Caused the rain to Vol.
Vol cared for us.
You learn to care for yourselves.
I'm your new god now. Putting fruit on trees.
Enjoy it. You learn to build for yourselves, think for yourselves.
And you're gonna love sex. What you create is yours.
Right. That's what we call freedom. And you'll learn to smooch like each other. A lot. And you'll learn something about. They're like, but we're each only 3 months old. Bones like, huh? I may have miscalculated a little when I said 20,000 years.
Love. You're like that, too, a lot. You and your children.
What are children?
The little ones look like you. They just go on the way you're going. You'll find out.
He's like, you're in for a big surprise.
We have no idea what this guy who just killed our god is talking about. Nothing funnier than being oblivious.
I don't agree with you at all, Mr. Spock.
It's not unusual, Doctor. Hey, Jim, I want you to hear this.
Captain.
How often do you think those two hang out without Kirk?
Yeah, I was just thinking that, too. They're, like, having some sort of, like, casual debate.
Course of social evolution. I see nothing wrong in that.
Well, that's a good object lesson, Mr. Spock. An example of what...
Okay, this is kind of what we were discussing earlier. I mean, it's kind of the whole thing of the episode.
Captain, you are aware of the biblical story of Genesis.
We are.
Adam and Eve tasted the apple, and as a result, were driven out of paradise.
Precisely, Captain. And in a matter of speaking, we have given the people of Vile the apple... The knowledge
just
of
like you said.
Yep. A metaphoric apple. And where they're all flirting in the final scene, too. And Kirk did give a speech, and Spock did use science.
Is there anyone on this ship who even remotely looks like Satan?
Whoa! We got some Vulcan phobia happening.
I am not aware of anyone who fits that description.
He's got just, like, a big pointy tail, like, wagging around behind him as they're talking about this.
We just never see it.
Produced by Gene L. Coon.
Uh-huh.
Fun.
Yep.
I liked that one.
I thought you would.
Yeah, I know. It has a lot of elements.
It's
I
got
like.
The entertainment value, which is all you care about.
Absolutely. Well, it was a cohesive story too, and it kind of like it was an interesting moral dilemma.
Uh huh.
The planet was interesting, of course. Like the red guys are interesting, like in their situation is Vol.
Uh huh.
Even though he was a little vague, I thought maybe we were going to get more into what Vol was at the end. I don't know that we needed to, though. I think we got everything we needed. I felt like it did the same thing that some previous episodes have done, but a little better, I felt like.
Oh, okay.
Because it felt, it was, actually, a lot of it was a lot like the Apollo episode, I thought, or the Landru episode. But it felt like, it felt like they just learned from what didn't work about those episodes and kind of did it a little better here. Pacing was tight, I thought, and there's some interesting debates happening. There's some good carnage too. There's great explosions and stuff. No, I liked it quite a bit actually. Yeah, I love the giant snake head. Like, yeah. Should we take it to warp?
Warp drive, Mr. Scott.
This is the warp speed rating segment where we rate the episode on a scale of impulse power to full warp, roughly a scale of 1 to 10. I know around where I'm going to give it, but I'm trying to decide. I'm going to give it I'm kind of between a 7 and an 8. I'm going to give it a warp 7.5.
Okay. I guess that's allowed.
That's a speed we never move at, but I know they can.
Technically.
Warp 7.5. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, it's got kind of everything I would want from an episode. Like, in fact, maybe I'll even bump it up to an 8. Heck,
okay.
I think I will. I'm going to give it an 8. It's just everything I want. There's exploring. All the characters are doing their thing. The ones that are there anyway. Uh-huh. I don't know. I know you don't seem like you like it as much. What's your critique of it, you think? What isn't working for you?
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot. Like you said, it's a lot of fun. I feel like this episode is like all sizzle, no steak. Or like all fart, no poo. You know, like
that's fair.
I feel like it looks really good.
I'm here for the sizzle, though.
Yeah, I know you are, but I feel like it looks really good, and then there's like nothing deeper and nothing better. Other things I don't like: Captain Kirk is not acting like a captain. He's kind of acting like a loser, and Spock has to keep giving him pep talks.
Yeah, he's a little wishy-washy. Yeah,
he's wishy-washy, and I hate when he's like that. It makes me
really mad. I
don't
mind that much, I guess. I didn't feel like he like wimped out in the face of situations. I felt like he was just understandably frustrated with what was going on and how things had gone down. And Spock was right. It wasn't his fault. But I also...
Yeah.
I'm also with Kirk. I see why he would feel that was his fault and that he was responsible for what happened.
Yeah, but so when Kirk is like down on the planet, he needs to have his shit together. You know, he can't be like being a little nervous Nelly about it.
No. Yeah. Well, I don't feel like it ever impeded his judgment or anything. I feel like he was just like, shit, what the hell? Like, this is not what I want. Like, I'm upset, you know? And I don't mind that he gets emotional sometimes as long as it doesn't impede his ability to captain, which I didn't think it did. Because is the difference in him and Picard, is that he's a lot more emotional in general and gets his feelings tied up a lot more often. And I think that's fine. I like that he's not like, he's not like Spock. He's not just a machine. Like, when things are going bad and his guys are dying, that makes him upset.
Well, all of the, like, I mean, first of all of the red shirts just dying comedically one at a time, like, definitely, like, undercut the seriousness of the episode. Like, it's very silly.
The lightning strike especially stands out as being maybe the silliest one.
And then, like, Spock experiencing all of those things also and, like, being totally fine is, like, ridiculous.
Specifically the lightning. The plants, maybe I could move past, but the lightning was, like, what? Like, well, and you know what's kind of goofy, too, is that the lightning hitting the first guy, we know by the end that the lightning is controlled by Vol. And so, which suggests that Vol is trying to kill them from the moment they land on the planet.
Right.
But he's also not, because the other two guys just die randomly of the plant and the exploding rock. And then he doesn't, he could strike the other five of them with lightning and he doesn't. So it doesn't make sense that he randomly strikes that one guy and then doesn't really do it to anyone else except Spock later. And when he does it to Spock, really it's more out of self-defense. So it's like that moment doesn't make sense. I agree.
But
that
the other ones why does he don't. Strike him?
Like the if Lieutenant Bronzer had done something to warrant being struck by lightning, then it might work for me. But he didn't.
Yeah, it's just like there's no method to like the madness, basically.
Yeah, and it does feel goofy to watch them all go down one by one like that. Although I like it. That feels goofy in a way that feels consistent with the show to me.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think it's too goofy.
I get that.
Yeah, and I think that they're trying too hard to sell the paradise thing, where
they are
just
really
mentioned
it
at the beginning and the end. Like, just like I thought they were just like hammering that a little bit too hard, and it was kind of like annoying and like bad writing and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. About the time they say some paradise, which was like 2 minutes in, that should have been the last time that the words paradise were used, and we just like kept doing
it. Yeah, and like McCoy saying it when they encounter the natives is really funny, but then like that's about it. Like the rest of it is like a little bit too much. So I feel like this is a fun episode, but ultimately a bad episode. This is like unprecedented. I'm gonna give it a half impulse.
A half impulse?
Yeah, I think this one's like... I think this one's stupid, and it's okay if you like it, because I like it. But like, like for my warp speed ratings, as you know, I try to go more on the quality of the episode rather than like how much I like it.
You think it was half impulse? So that's a really low score. That's like lower than you gave Miri, I think. Like,
maybe, I don't know.
Jeez,
I just feel like it's like fun and stupid.
I guess. I mean, it is kind of stupid. I didn't think it was half impulse stupid. I thought you were gonna give it like a 3 or something. Like.
Uh-uh.
I mean, you despise
it. Nope, I'm standing by it.
Damn. What else
don't
you like?
I despise it. I just think it's really... I think it's bad.
What else do you think is bad about it? I guess I want to know.
More things. I hate Chekhov's, like, love interest. Like, I think that, like... I understand what they were trying to accomplish there, but it just feels like... it feels like it's, like, undermining their whole mission to have these two just like stupid like lovebirds who keep on like sneaking off and like making out and holding hands, and like also just that nobody like appreciates the gravity of the situation. I feel like everybody else is like, this is no big deal, and Captain Kirk is like, this is crazy.
That's
like,
true. There's like not a like emotional consistency.
It just feels all over the map, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it just feels like the writing is bad, you know?
Yeah,
and I think that they
like,
made, like, a fun episode out of it, but, like, it's still just kind of poorly written, in my opinion.
Yeah, because, like, the Galileo 7, like, everybody knew they were in a dire circumstance. And in this one, it's like, yeah, like they seem to still feel like, you know, Chekhov
and her still seem to feel like
they're on a honeymoon.
Yeoman guest star just, like, having no facial expression the whole time and just having her arms all crossed and being like... I don't know. It was just like
no, she wasn't good. But I liked the bit So I didn't like that they were all like holding hands and touchy feely for most of the episode, but I did like the moment where they snuck away and were smooching.
I think that if
then,
it would have just been that and like a little more like implied, I think I would have had more respect for it. But it just felt like I said, like, come on, guys, like people are dying. Mm-hmm. Like and this is not like a little picnic date for you two. Like this is ridiculous.
Yeah. And it definitely just felt like Chekhov just like brought his girlfriend on the mission. Like it didn't feel like she
exactly.
had any right to be there.
It
like
feels
why
weird.
Would a Yeoman be beaming down to the planet? Every time they beam down a Yeoman, it doesn't. It's like, why? Like,
I know it makes Yeoman. No sense. And it's just like, I mean, it's just the. Just sexist writing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just like, we want a woman, and this is like this like secretary
it
job,
would have
you
been
know?
So easy to make her like a botanist.
That's what I'm saying,
like,
you know?
Would have taken one line of dialogue.
Or
instead,
like an anthropologist,
like,
or like literally
yeah,
anything.
Like something
you know?
That they would have sent to that planet. Like,
yeah, it's just so sexist.
Totally. Yeah. So that was some BS. I'm with you there.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Maybe I should bring it down to a 7. You're kind of convincing me. Nah, whatever. I'm committed to my 8. I do really like this
That's fine. It's a very fun episode, you know?
Yeah, and I love how much art direction is happening, too. That's, like, the biggest thing for me is just, like, the goofy red people with the antennas and the giant snake head and all the plants and the exploding rocks. It's just all so creative and sci-fi-y and feels uh-huh. very adventure-y, so I do love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay, fair. I think that's our biggest gaff
I know,
between scores
I
ever. I probably will be, too. I don't think we'll disagree that much ever again.
Yeah, probably not.
That's funny. All right,
I
tell us
what
you think,
I want to know which one is
listeners.
The one that we've had. Sorry, I want to find out which one we've had that I've had the, like, biggest score and you've had, like, the lowest score. I'm curious to know what that is.
Hey, we can check. You want to?
Yeah, let's check.
All right. Give us just a couple of seconds.
I mean, our episode's already like 3 hours long, so we might as well.
Yeah, right. We'll take a look.
If you stuck with us this far, you might as well hang in there.
Right? Either the Menagerie Part 2 or the Ballads of Terror.
Interesting. Yeah,
like,
I feel
like
I was really trying to convince you about Ballads of Terror.
Yeah, and I liked Ballads of Terror quite a bit, but not as much as you did.
All right.
Although I've kind of come around to it. I feel like I should have given it. I gave it an 8, and I feel like I should have given it. A 9.
Yeah, but that's also the difference is that we're both looking at it. Like, I mean, we're rating them a little bit differently, but also, like, I feel like we have different, like, things that
yeah,
we're
we have different things to. That we like, for sure. So, anyway, but yeah, tell us, listeners, do you like this episode, or do you think it's a schlocky mess,
yeah,
too?
Your
like,
hosts are device divided.
We are, yeah, so I'm interested to hear what they think. But I'm glad we can represent both perspectives here.
Totally. It makes it fun.
I feel like a lot of times when we have this split, they're like, no, Sammy's right. This is stupid.
In the mirror universe, I love this episode and you hate it.
They've got that bit in Futurama where he says something about like Star Trek. You know, it was 77 episodes, about 12 good ones.
That's so funny.
Let's do Kill Kill Torture Chamber, whatever it's called.
Mary Kill
Agony Bomb? Yeah, here we are. It's Mary Kill Pod Bar, where I show Alex 3 characters from the episode that we just watched, and he chooses one to marry, one to kill, and one to commit to Pod Bar with. All right, Alex, are you ready to meet today's contestants?
Yes.
All right. Behind door number 1, he's been through it. He's
been poisoned. Oh, my God, he's
poisoned.
Here every time.
He's
Do you know
been...
how often you include him in this?
He's my favorite. And
I feel like you just include him so you can marry him every time. We need like
a
Spock embargo for a little bit. Like he was always here.
I'll concede to a Spock embargo. Then you'll just probably see more of Captain Kirk. But I'll give Spock a rest. But he's here for today.
All right, Spock. Yeah, it's Spock. Yeah, he got hit it's in the back with
for
lightning
bolt. The
last
time in a minute since I'm gonna be banned. Oh well. Behind door number 2, we have Yeoman Bitchy Face Martha. I don't know.
All right, okay.
And behind door number 3, we have the flirty, the unprofessional Chekhov.
Okay. I'm going to kill Spock.
He's unkillable. You can't kill him.
Okay, fine.
I'm just kidding. You can kill Smog if you want.
No, I just wanted to see your reaction.
I'll kill Chekhov.
Well.
Yeah, I'll kill Chekhov. I'll kill Chekhov.
Okay.
And, I'm gonna pond far with Spock and, marry the dumb yeoman.
Okay, sounds good.
She seemed agreeable, at least. Plus, she can kick ass, as we saw.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, she was one of the most impressive fighters in that scene.
They
she must have some sort of combat
officer.
Training.
There were so many things they could have done that would have been better than yeoman.
Oh, right. There's it's so frustrating. There's no reason for her to be a yeoman.
Sexism. I know. Just sexism.
It is. Yeah. Unjustified. Freaking bull. Whatever. How about you? You're going to marry Spock and what are you going to pawn for with Chekhov and kill her?
I guess. Her personality was so, like, just nothing.
It was nothing.
You know?
But she was very cute. Great bone structure.
Absolutely. She was stunning. But, like, I need more, you know?
Sure. Fair. All right. Any final thoughts for the episode?
Paradise is not what it seems? I don't know.
There wasn't an apple.
There wasn't an apple. People are really into Christian imagery in the future.
I like the suggestion that, because in the book of Genesis, the way the story is that, you know, that it's punishment, that it's a bad thing that we've fallen out of this state of grace.
Not necessarily.
You don't think so? I've always felt like that was the way that it was presented to us in school, at very least.
Definitely in school, but I think most, like, actual, like, theologians with interesting opinions think that it was kind of this inevitable thing.
Yeah, and so I like the idea I think Bones was the one that said it, that it's just natural evolution that we would move beyond this phase of, and in fact, this is kind of making the statement about the need for the God that they all worship that tells them what to do every second of the day. This is kind of making that statement in the way that I said that the Apollo episode was trying to. I feel like this is doing
that's
it correctly.
A good point.
They do land on like a weirdly light note as they're leaving, though, where they're kind of like,
big time.
You'll have kids. It'll be great. And they're like, ha ha ha, okay.
Because how
whatever.
Else are you going to resolve
our God
it, you
is
know?
Dead. Like, I feel like they should have left them and they should have been a little more like, I feel like it was okay to leave them feeling weird, you know, although they seem like just a happy people in general. But so it didn't necessarily not work. But I felt like they should have been like, wait, like what? Like, you know, they should have just been upset and should have been like, bye. Yeah. Like, oh, well, instead of being like, we can all have a laugh and it's fine.
Yeah.
Just felt like putting a little bow on it that wasn't really earned. Like
a little. Yeah.
A little like
a little tacky.
Tacked on a happy ending sort of a thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's interesting, though. Yeah, so there's interesting moral things, I guess, to be considered in this one.
Yeah,
but,
there were some, like, interesting ideas, for sure.
Absolutely. That's all I got. That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Then until next time, live fast.
And get fucked.
Thanks for listening to Star Trek The Original Siblings. Follow the show on social media, on Instagram and Twitter at STOSibsPod, or send us a subspace message at STOSibsPod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the show, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're at it, rate us 5 stars, or maybe write us a nice review. Tune in next time, and until then, live long and prosper.